Here is Winfred Claiborne.
It is true that Job was a wealthy man. The book of Job provides a list of Job's financial holdings. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 female donkeys and a very great household, so that this man was one of the greatest men of the East. Job 1:3. All serious Bible students will readily admit that some of God's greatest servants were very wealthy people. The book of Genesis says of Abram, later renamed Abraham, "And Abram went up out of Egypt, he, his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold." Genesis 13:1-2. Incidentally, Lot, Abraham's nephew, was probably rich also. He had flocks and herds and tents. Genesis 13:5. There is hardly any doubt that Job and Abraham were rich because God had blessed them. Can we reason from that conclusion that true Christians are going to be rich, that God will always bless them with material wealth because of their faithfulness in His service? What other impression can one get from an article in the Tennessean about Joyce Meyer, a popular television evangelist? The article has the title, "Wealth This Good Has Got to Be God," Meyer says, Sunday, December 7, 2003. Many television evangelists are bleeding their constituents and taking money many of their hearers cannot afford to give. But the TV preachers often say, "Give God $10, and He will give you back tenfold or a hundredfold." She believes, or says she believes, her great wealth is a miracle. According to the article in the paper, Joyce Meyer's organization expects to take in about $95 million this year. She asserts, "If you stay in the faith, you are going to be paid." There are some people in our nation who wonder if Joyce Meyer may not violate federal law by spending millions on herself and on her family. She says that God does not need our money. The giving is not for God. It is for us. Page 20A. There are hundreds of preachers. Many of them are not on television or on radio, who preach the same so-called prosperity gospel. Tragically, using religion to raise money is not a modern phenomenon. Matthew records a serious conflict between our Lord and some of the Jewish leaders. Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them who sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and them who sold doves and said unto them, "It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." Matthew 21:12-13. John records a similar incident. "And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves, and changers of the money sitting. And when he had made a whip of small cords, he drove them out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them who sold doves, Take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, The zeal of thine house has eaten me up." John 2:13-17. Michael Horton edited an excellent book dealing with perversion to the gospel by many of the health and wealth preachers. Horton's book has the title, "The Agony of Deceit, What Some TV Preachers Are Really Teaching." Dr. Joe Netterwood wrote Chapter 13, which has the title, "Send No Money to Martin Luther." Dr. Netterwood points out that Martin Luther was angry because of the use of religion to raise money. Some churches offered the forgiveness of sins in exchange for donations from sinners. Priests sold indulgences, which for certain sums would spring people free from purgatory. Johann Tetzel, an especially obnoxious profiteer, worked right under Luther's nose. Page 234. Dr. Netherwood correctly observes, "Whenever a religious leader or a church comes up with a scheme that confuses salvation with some kind of monetary payment, you have the worst kind of dishonesty." Page 237. D.R. McConnell did his graduate work at Oral Roberts University in Oklahoma. In his book, A Different Gospel, McConnell furnishes a wealth of material on preachers such as Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, Gloria Copeland, Fred Price, and other well-known health and wealth preachers. McConnell quotes Fred Price as saying, "God has certain benefits attached to walking by faith. Most employers have enough common decency about them that they don't ask somebody to work for them for free. If a man has enough nicety about him to do that, can't you at least believe the Father God is not asking you to serve him for free either?" Page 169. McConnell quotes these words from one of Gloria Copeland's unscriptural and unreasonable books, God's Will is Prosperity. "You give $1 for the gospel's sake, and $100 belongs to you. You give $10 and receive $1,000. Give $1,000 and receive $100,000. I know that you can multiply, but I want you to see it in black and white and see how tremendous the hundredfold return is. Give one house and get 100 houses back, or one house worth 100 times as much. In short, Mark 10:30 is a very good deal." Page 171. I never like to question anyone's sincerity, but Gloria Copeland and the other prosperity preachers know what she says is false, inexcusably false. Many of the prosperity teachers believe that the atonement provides deliverance from poverty. Page 173. And if what she says is true, why stop at giving $10,000 to receive $100,000? Why not give all we own, houses, lands, bank accounts, stocks and bonds? The first thing you know, if what she says is true, you would make Donald Trump seem like a homeless person. You probably have known some very devout persons, people who have given their entire lives in service to God and to their fellow men. I have met and worked with people who devoted their time and money and energy to spreading the gospel and to helping those in need. I'm thinking of a woman in South Georgia who constantly served her fellow Christians and other needy people. She always provided food for the sick in the community where I was preaching. For several years before she died, she suffered from severe respiratory problems. Neither she nor any of her family members ever became wealthy. Did she have health problems because she was not a faithful Christian? Did she not have an abundance of money because she did not give enough to the cause of Christ? Such a view is insulting to godly Christians and to the Lord whom we serve. God has not promised to keep you healthy and to give you wealth. The doctrine being preached by the health and wealth people is another gospel. Do you remember what Paul said about preaching another gospel? Galatians 1, 8 and 9. Would you agree with me that Paul was a great Christian and one of the greatest missionaries who ever lived? Just think of his contributions to the New Testament and the many churches he established in Asia Minor and in Europe. I have no idea how much money he gave to the cause of Christ, but he gave his life to the church of our Lord. If any preacher deserved to be rich, surely Paul was that preacher. But was Paul wealthy? If he had been, why did he criticize his Corinthian brothers and sisters for their failure to support him in the work of preaching? If he were wealthy, he did not need their money. But he had to work at tent-making to support himself and them who were with him. Acts 20:34. There is nothing wrong with tent-making. But had he been rich, he could have devoted all of his time to preaching and to teaching instead of having to work with his hands to support himself. the Corinthians were not on the same wavelength, figuratively speaking, as the Apostle Paul. They fancied themselves to be full and rich and to reign as kings. Paul contrasts himself with their exalted view of themselves. "For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honorable, but we are despised." Now please listen carefully. "Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place, and labor, working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day." 1 Corinthians 4:8-13. If what Joyce Meyer and Gloria Copeland teach were true, Paul was not a first-class citizen in the kingdom of heaven, and not even a second-class citizen. How could Paul have become such a faithful Christian, a great preacher, and a powerful missionary, if he did not have enough faith to have a $10 million jet and a $107,000 Mercedes-Benz? At times he was hungry and thirsty and had no certain dwelling place. 1 Corinthians 4:11. Maybe it is just modern health and wealth preachers who are guaranteed riches and good health. I honestly cannot imagine how anyone can be deceived by the promises of the prosperity preachers. We know those promises are designed to enrich the ministries of Joyce Meyer, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, and Kenneth Hagin. In many respects, those preachers are not a cut above Johann Tetzel, the infamous seller of indulgences. D.R. McConnell affirms, "The faith teachers criticize Paul for his poverty and his acceptance of suffering, even sickness, as the will of God." Page 177. I have never actually heard the Copelands and Kenneth Hagin criticize Paul, but they have to believe he was not so faithful as he should have been. Otherwise, he would not have been poor and sick. The truth is that millions of faithful Christians have died on crosses, in dungeons, in battles with lions to entertain the Roman citizens, and in other unspeakably cruel ways. Tradition says that all of the apostles except John died violent death. How can the health and wealth preachers harmonize their view with these words? "But you have fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." 2 Timothy 3:10-12. Was Paul healthy and wealthy while he sat in a Roman prison? If you can buy and read only one book this year, I highly recommend that you purchase David Limbaugh's book, Persecution: How Liberals Are Waging War Against Christianity. Limbaugh gives hundreds of examples of those who claim to be Christians who are being persecuted in our schools by the media and even by the courts, especially by the courts. But are they really true Christians if they're not prospering financially and not enjoying freedom from suffering and abuse? The church in Philippi had been faithful and generous in supporting the Apostle Paul. He explained, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again under my necessity. Not that I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things that were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But God shall supply your need according to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ." Philippians 4:15-19. At the time Paul wrote the Philippian letter, the Christians at Philippi were caring for his needs. But that had not always been the case with other churches. Earlier in Philippians 4, Paul told his brothers and sisters, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect to want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." Philippians 4:10-12. How can the health and wealth preachers think of Paul as being a faithful servant of God? At times he was hungry. How can wealthy people be hungry? Can you not see how utterly false and deceptive the so-called prosperity gospel is? With a $10 million jet aircraft, Joyce Meyer probably does not experience hunger or thirst or cold. If great wealth is a sign of God's favor, Donald Trump and Ted Turner make Joyce Meyer appear to be a beggar. They could buy her with the change they carry in their pockets. But financial success has absolutely nothing to do with faithfulness to God. That is especially true with the television evangelists, who have accumulated great wealth by begging and by selling their books, T-shirts, and other trinkets at their personal appearances. If the money contributed to those groups were used for the purposes for which the money is raised, the evangelist would not be rich. Many of the television evangelists have brought shame on the name of Christ. Their behavior is in too many cases reprehensible. Does the Bible teach that Christians will be rich in this world's goods? No. But it does teach that true Christians will be rich in heavenly goods. James asks, "Hearken, my beloved brethren, has not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to them who love him?" James 2:5. Besides, the only perfect person who ever lived was poor beyond the comprehension of most Americans. Jesus described his own financial standing in these familiar words, "The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Matthew 8:20. How do the health and wealth preachers deal with that verse? That one verse alone completely destroys the preaching of Joyce Meyer and her fellow prosperity teachers. Thank you for listening today. May God richly bless you.